Just like I think one thing I like to do too is balance some of these things with the reality, the other side of the reality, which the whole thing with plastics, and that's also produced a world where there's a lot less hunger. So there's a balance, because even as we're talking about, I think it's important to represent how the other side might see it or whatever, and understand that there is a lot going on in our planet, right?
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
And the things got the way they are for reasons. And it's kind of like the Chesterton's fence thing, Mark, where we look at a fence and we go, that needs to go, it's in the way, and we remove plastics. It without knowing why it was put there in the first place. And plastics is an example of that. We need to get rid of all plastic, yada, 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 it's ruining our environment. And yet, I think so much of the fact that our world's poverty is decreased over the years is a result of our preservation techniques, is a result of our manufacturing processes and our shipping processes, and they all coincide with this plastics generation, right? I think it's a fascinating balance to what we're seeing.
It is a balance, but maybe we just need to make other products. Maybe we need to go back to more glass, stainless steel, cast iron. It can be quite overwhelming, right? I mean, when you really think about everything that you touch, taste, smell, walk on, shoes, clothing, toilet paper. And so I think there's things you can do. And so...
Yeah. As an individual, as a consumer, we can make choices.
We can make choices, and that's where, as we say, demand to change. That's where the demand to change comes in. And it can be overwhelming, but it doesn't need to be overwhelming. You can think of making one small change every day and make that change so it becomes a habit, and then add something else on. So I'm going to look at all my beauty products and let's see what we can don't need or what I can use in this place, like the towel or the coconut or the essential oils. Maybe we can buy a bidet for our toilets. And so a little attachment, $60 or under, just think of the toilet paper that you would save in the meantime and the cost of the toilet paper. And so that's foreign here in the United States. I think not so much so. I know European nations use them. No, I don't have that on my toilet yet. My husband's walking.
No, but it's funny you mentioned that. I probably know at least 10 people.
Oh, really?
Who have, recently put a bidet on their toilet in the last 10 years.
I want to say it's recently
fashionable. The toilet paper shortage. Maybe they didn't do it.
No, that's definitely where it came from the people that I know. Yeah. It's like they didn't want to have to deal with that again. And they found it to be...
Pleasurable. Right.
Clean. It prevents hemorrhoids.
It typically is thought of as a luxury. Why aren't we doing this?
And I'm thinking about your, I appreciate what you brought to that as far as not conservation so much, but the food and hunger and so forth. I'm thinking of the soup can, the tin can. Does that factor, I mean, are there things that we're not aware of based on that? In some ways, that can, it's not as easy to do as plastic, I'm sure, because you're only going to configure a tin can. You can't make a tin can look like, you know, Mrs. Buttersworth as well as you can a plastic jug. You know, I'm thinking about it from a marketing perspective, but yet, are those same things?
Because most tin cans now are lined with plastic.
Thank you, Mary Beth. No, but seriously,
I give up.
If we've been smart enough to devise the plastics and why can't we be smart enough to devise
something?
We continue to evolve, and we can. It's not toxic to the human body, and we can make vaccines that aren't full of preservatives and mercury and thimerosal, and we can make a healthy vaccine.
Gotcha.
And so there's a lot of things we can do. Why aren't we doing it?
Why aren't we?
Well, I know.
Well, I mean, put it into it.
It's just the money. The money. It's the money. It's the faster faster you can produce a thing and the longer you can keep it viable, mm-hmm. the more money you
The get. Sicker people would stay, the more they have to keep doing
yeah. that. Too, yeah, that's the nefarious side. It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think if I had to guess, I want to say that the percentage of the medical profession that is on the nefarious side is very small. I think most medical professionals are purveying the system that,
right.
you know, has some weaknesses or whatever, but they're not evil people thinking, yes,
yeah, no, I'm trying to say.
I think you said that already, but I wanted to repeat that. Yeah, I think there is a side of the medical industry, probably on the pharmaceutical side, you know, there's this whole thing with the getting sued for the OxyContin, that whole family, that whole thing, you know. That's falling on the evil, nefarious side of things. And I think there is an element of that. And like I said, probably in the pharmaceuticals because there's so much money in that side.
Right.
But I think just the balance.
Like people from the FDA board, to me, how I see it, shouldn't, the majority of the members shouldn't be from the pharmaceutical world.
Yeah. That's kind of a conflict of interest. Yeah.
And so.
I got you. Yeah. No.
Mark, I'm going to nominate you for the
No, thanks. No, thanks. You know me, Justin. That's not part of who I am, but I was, go ahead. What do you think, Justin? Talk with us about
that. I was going to say, I think it would be really awesome if we could have and maybe we probably don't have time for all of it here, but if you'd be willing to put together some list of here's some simple steps you could do, baby steps, because Financial Peace University, that's a Dave Ramsey thing, and he basically makes addressing your financial health, he simplifies it into some baby steps to say you're not going to be Warren Buffett tomorrow, but if you do this today, you'll get closer to this, and if you do this tomorrow, you get close. And this whole concept is baby steps to get to where you are making a significant change to where you have financial health. Mm-hmm. It would be awesome to have, because this is all too big for me. Everything has plastic. Tin cans have plastic in them.
So
that's right. There's that, shampoo, yada, yada, all this stuff. There's no way to solve all the things. But I think what you've been saying.
If you can make small changes, don't use the Teflon. Get cast iron, get stainless steel. You reward yourself. Your Teflon's falling apart. No, you're fine. The Teflon's falling apart anyway. And so those chemicals are really leaching. And so, we're going to invest in some cast iron. That's going to last a lifetime, there's no toxic chemicals getting into your body. And so I think if you focus on the bucket is overflowing. And so if you can just take away a little piece here and a little piece there and a little piece here, so the bucket's not overflowing, then you notice, I'm thinking a little bit more clearly today. I'm not quite as fatigued. Why is that? I've got more energy for my kids. Why is that? And I think when you see the correlation of I'm removing one thing here, one thing there, it does take some work. And it takes, I think, where the work comes in is we can condition the things that we maybe need these things.
That it's good or bad.
That it's so bad. Canola oil is so bad. Seed oils are so bad. Mm-hmm. So we go over to Leland, to Northwest Farm. AJ's wonderful there. Mm-hmm. We buy 5 pounds. 5 pounds of fats.
What's that?
It's tallow. It's beef fat.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And this is always Jeff's job. He simmers it on the stove till the moisture comes up, then we just put it in jars. And we have a jar in our bathroom. That's my skin lotion.
Nice.
We have jars in the cupboard. That's what we cook with. It doesn't need to be refrigerated.
Am I okay using coconut oil at all if I want to?
You are.
Okay. I knew Chris wasn't going to go for me boiling down beef fat in the... You must be a lot of fun to go through a grocery store with. I could imagine you just crawling out of your skin.
I do sometimes.
Going through a grocery store and looking at people's body.
That would make a great podcast episode. Let's bring me that to the grocery store.
We'd have to video it though. Yeah. It would be so fun to be able to. It's like, excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, sir. Yeah. You know, do you know that that product there causes hair loss?
Right.
Promotes weight gain? Yeah. You know, it's like. Yeah.
Or you can just look at someone and you can see, well, they're losing their eyebrows. They've got this.
Did you notice that?
No, you're fine, but I do notice that it's a curse and a blessing because you've been trained to do that 5-second assessment. Yeah. You look at somebody and they're healthy or they're not healthy. So you're healthy. You are healthy. But sometimes I feel like going in the grocery store, Mark's healthy.
Yeah.
I feel like going, or you can see that kind of dull look in the eyes, right?
Your
buckets are full.
Quick question. I read something the other day, and I don't want to get off topic, but is it true that there are no physical markers for age? In other words, the only way that a person, a doctor, a PA, it's like you can't take a blood draw and tell someone what their age is. Is that correct?
No.
It's not correct?
No, but I don't know enough about it yet. But
I've
listened to several podcasts. I think Mark Hyman is a really good one to listen to. And so
Any other good ones you like listening to? Podcasts, that is?
Podcasts, yes. This is one of my favorites.
Oh, my God. Thank you for taking the bait there.
There's only three podcasts.
That's fair enough.
Okay. And you're one of the three.
Well, cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
the
answer.
And so I totally forgot what I was
saying. Mark, you would look the other podcast you listen to.
Yeah, so the other podcast I listened to, Mark Hyman, he's talked about having markers drawn to see what his age is. His chronological age is 62, but his biological age is 44.
Okay.
So there are tests. I'm really curious about it. It's on my list of researching.
Yeah, because I'm curious about that, too. Has it become another thing where we promote normal based on an unhealthy society? You know, that kind of thing where I was just, because I had read that they're, you know, short of knowing someone's age, there are typically not biological markers that
I don't know them all yet. So.
Okay. No, I appreciate your honesty.
Your mitochondria. How many mitochondria do you have that power houses of your cells? How long are your telomeres?
Okay.
The DNA, right?
Your telomeres.
Yeah. So there are markers in your telomeres. The telomeres are DNA that we have that cause cells to replicate. When your cell is really old, you want those cells to die off. And so you want to make new cells. And so are your cells dying off at a good rate?
Gotcha.
Are they dying off too quick?
Yeah.
Are you doing things to help yourself get rid of the old cells, like in fasting?
Okay.
Are you giving your body a time to rest?
I do a little bit of intermittent fasting, and there's James Clear is an author. Are you familiar with James Clear? Okay. He promotes it and he does it, and that's kind of how I got on the BMI. And I'm not religious about it. I'll do it. I'll incorporate it for a period of time, and I'll go back to this whenever I want, however I want.
I think it's a good way to do the B.
Cool.
Yeah.
But his whole thing is, right, his whole thing is you give your body enough time, it will stop trying to deal with what you're putting into it, so then it can start paying attention to other things. Sometimes it's burning fat, sometimes it's healing parts of your body, whatever, but it like releases its focus from consuming to, you know, fixing, producing, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool.
I think it is, too. I think it's the American way. The flow is good. A lot better, right?
That's right.
So you only want to fast for so long, and depending on your health condition, women who are menstruating, they don't want to fast. They can't fast. Physiologically, they shouldn't fast as much as men fast. And so maybe you just do an intermittent fast, and intermittent fast is you know, you just shorten your eating window. You know, maybe you want to finish dinner at 5 and you don't eat breakfast the next day until, you know, 9, 10, 11. And just give your body time to repair. Give your digestive system time to rest.
So for me, just to put it out there, like, it's very doable for me. But I work from home, so I don't exude a lot of energy in my work. So I can't speak for someone like Mark who gets up and goes out and builds stuff. Like, you might need a little more energy input. I can't speak to that. But for me, it works well to basically try and cut on eating as early as possible. I like a snack at night, so I try and, you know, whatever. And then skip breakfast and don't do, basically eat less than, I think, 50 calories or 40 calories until lunchtime.
Right.
And for me, that works. I can do that. And once I start, sometimes I'll be a little hungry in the morning. Once I start working, I'm not thinking about it.
Right.
So just for the listener, like, it's pretty doable, and I don't feel tortured when I do that.
Right.
And like I said, I'm not religious about it, so I'll go back to just
normal. Our body likes to cycle, right?
Okay, that's good to know.
Our body likes to cycle.
There you go. That's why I'm healthy. She said I was healthy. That's why I cheat the system.
If you wake up tired today, you don't want to do intermittent fasting. Yeah. If you're a woman and your menstrual cycle is ready to start, you don't want to do intermittent fasting.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, just... Yeah. We've sort of gotten out of touch with this and doing our bodies feel too. Right?
That was just kind of what was going through my mind, is this process of, I'm not sure I've listened. We don't always do a good job of listening to our bodies.
Right.
And sometimes we go to someone else to tell us, or, you know.
Yeah,
I think we've elevated that. I don't know what's wrong. Something's wrong. So I need to go to someone who can tell me, who is an authority. And that being said, Merda, I appreciate you bringing your authority, your voice, if I may, to this opportunity. Thank you for sharing with us in that process.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah,
and we might have to have you back sometime in the future, because there's just so much here, and there's just not enough time. I mean, this is what we always say at the end of almost every topic, like.
Yeah.
These things are, there's so much depth to it. You can keep mining, but I feel like we at least dug some nuggets out of the soil at the top, at least. And I would love, if you're willing, to have, you know, some sort of baby step. You talked about the bucket in inputs that are vulnerable.
Yeah, that's what we put in the bucket.
Yeah. What do you call the word, though? Where did you put it?
No, it was an I. It was an I word.
Insults.
I couldn't bring it right up myself.
It was an interesting word. That's why
it's a good word picture.
Yeah. But I would love to have an idea of some of those insults that we can potentially limit. So, like, if we just put like a list of 10 things, I'd love to get that from you. And it would be really cool to, when we promote this episode, to say, and here's this resource freely given. That'd be awesome if we could do that. I know I'm putting you on the spot on microphone, so it's a little hard to turn it down. That may or may not serve. So I might have to edit this out if Mary Beth says no. Thank you.
I would love to. I'm all about helping people get well.
Yeah,
you seem like that guy gave bodies to get well, and we can do it.
And that's the part I think of this kind of, I've become more aware of through this opportunity we've had. You know, I'm thinking about it from a scriptural standpoint of, you know, how we mentioned rest. How we mentioned there is a season, there are cycles, you know, and I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, overall this is a spiritual dynamic. And I think as we tend to ignore that, I think we do, our bodies are more insulted.
I agree.
You know.
I'd like to add one thing to that.
Yeah.
God gives us the Holy Spirit gives us a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we sin, we feel that inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat donuts every morning, and you stop eating them for a while, and then you eat a donut again, you feel that.
Mm-hmm.
So you do realize you start to get in touch with your body in the same way you get in touch with the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue to sin, and you don't pay attention to the signal, and you continue to sin, and you don't pay attention to that signal, conscience is sealed, and you can't be able to spirit. And so, it's a somewhat similar correlation to health.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. He gave us amazing bodies that give us sickness. Mm-hmm. Don't ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
or you'll sear them.
You'll sear them.
Yeah, that's good. No, that's that'll preach.
Not meant to preach. No.
No, so there's this, you listen to these episodes and you think, it's just overwhelming. This, how in the world am I supposed to do? I can't be married, Beth. Like, it sounds like she's got a lot of it figured out.
About the same as you. I went through menopause at age 38. If a woman, you're supposed to go through menopause at age 52. When I didn't have a menstrual cycle, I went to my doctor and she said, you're at menopause.
Wow.
I went home and cried because I thought at age 38, I all of a sudden was old.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're old. And so I had to sit down and look at what was my part in adding to this.
Mm-hmm.
How can I do things different?
Yeah.
And did I start doing it different right away? No.
Yeah.
I think at age 50, I'm now 61, I got really serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the difference. In how
really?
I felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome.
I noticed my energy level. Mm-hmm.
But the difference between you and me is you started in this industry when you were 14. So you have, I'm not trying to say I can't do it. I'm trying to set up why it's difficult for those listening and how I want you to help us, right? So with this resource or whatever, it's this idea that you've been in this industry and then you had like this life thing, this life rock bottom, we talk about that in recovery, where you hit this point where you say, I need to do something different. So my question is, how can you help people like me who's like, I'm not at rock bottom, I'm fine, I'm healthy, you said it, but I still want to integrate some changes, I still want to take baby steps, and if this baby step, for instance, intermittent fasting is one of those baby steps I've taken, where I recognize, hey, I can do this. So now I'm listening to you and I'm like, okay, what's the next thing? And what's it, and I think, how can we speak to that? How can we help people in that avenue who are at some crisis point and they're not at this place of distrust in the system or whatever. They're like, I don't know, whatever. But what's some small things? So that's kind of where I'm at, is how can we give baby steps? How can we help on-ramp people?
Because that's all it takes is baby steps.
Yeah.
And you'll notice the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you this big
sense. Yeah. It's interesting to think about, how many people do actually have to get to that point, though, of the rock bottom.
It's almost
where my identity, like you were saying, for you, if I may say so, as a female at that moment, to think of, menopause, it's like, okay, I'm no longer a woman to a certain degree.
That's exactly how I felt.
Young.
And when we reach those moments where our identity isn't what we thought it was, I think that's a tremendous opportunity to be able to say, okay, what do I need to be able to do differently here?
Mm-hmm.
Because suddenly what I thought was isn't.
Correct.
And I think that's,
And
unfortunately, it takes so often getting to that point before we will implement. So I like that aspect of baby steps.
And that's an okay thing, too,
to
get to those points where you're like, okay, I'm ready. That's as much as I'd love everyone to stop smoking, drinking, whatever, all those things, stopping those habits.
Stopping
eating. We're part of Celebrate Recovery. Recognize that people come when they're ready to change. And that represents all kinds of walks of life. We can represent rock bottom. It could just represent, okay, I've done this long enough. It could represent cold turkey and I'm ready to, whatever. I think the idea that someone like my daughter, whatever, is like, you can start, like Dave Ramsey, a lot of his material is focused on people who've hit rock bottom financially, right? Mm-hmm. It's this idea that we don't know what the heck we're doing and we're broken and we want to fix it. But he also speaks to, but also set your kids up with a piggy bank or, a savings account and teach them the value of it so that they don't get in the deficits that you've gotten into.
It becomes a way of life.
Right.
Like,
and
it's
so,
just
like,
second nature.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kinds of things that I think would be awesome too, to be able to say, what's something Mia can start to do or we can start to teach our kids in terms of that piggy bank that can contribute towards a life long habit of health that contributes to not financial health but health
I mean, I can give you some now, or you want a list? Do you have written are you doing written notes after your podcast?
I would. So yes, no. Yes, okay. Ish. What I would love to do is get you know, some sort of document, whatever. It can be in any form you want. Yeah, and then I
can create. Or if you have it already typed out.
Well, I have just different, I printed some old notes of things I had, like, you know, hormone replacements.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I would love to.
Different cleaning products. Well, let's see.
I would love to promote those full-fledged resources. We can, you know, whatever documents you can give me, we can put those on the thing. But I would also love to just have, like, a 10-point bullet. Whatever, something simple.
Sure.
And I can make a little PDF, and that can be like a downloadable resource.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Because it'd be awesome to have all that, but the percentage of people who would read all that is pretty small. The percentage of people who would take a, what do we call them? We call them, there's a term for it in our, in my industry, because I do, I work for a company that makes these. So we're kind of, we're the bad guys. We make the pop-ups. I just pointed at a pop-up on a website. Okay. So,
I have to know there's so much more to Justin. Because that's part of my world. It's like, ooh, Justin.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. That is until you have a website where, I mean, you respect Dr. Hyman, right?
I do.
And he has pop-ups.
Yeah,
so,
he does.
They just work. But interesting fact, when I worked for a web agency building websites, we built his website, not this version, but like 5-10 versions ago. So when you said that Hyman, I was like, that sounds very, because his name's kind of funny anyway, if you know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember that,
It's fun fact.
But I didn't know anything about him when we built the site, you know, but it's interesting how that
comes together, comes around.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's also a guy's website we did, he was an author, and his big push, his big book, his blog and everything is about sugar and how bad sugar is. You might know the guy's name, maybe, but that stood out to me too. These two guys were,
Mark Hutton has a book too on sugar.
Yeah.
That's another form of plastic.
It is.
How many sugars we have developed. Yeah, not just the high fructose.
We'll say that's an insult. I have a difficulty saying no to sugar.
Yeah. No, I hate it. I'm working on myself.
Yeah. Another site that you might be interested in. Have you ever heard of CancerTutor.com?
CancerTutor, no. It was a big passion of mine. I don't know why. I don't even know many people with cancer. But I went to several medical seminars that were integrated.
Yeah. So their push is kind of more natural as well. And we did their website at an agency I worked at as well. This is not the version I built, it's interesting how many. So you might be interested in that one.
I'd be very interested in that one.
Well, I'm glad Justin, I should say, has been able to give you some food for thought to take home as well.
I can learn that from you guys. Mark, I think you've shown me what little it takes to make a difference in people's life.
Mm.
You've taught me about time management. Like, I flounder now. Like, I've hit very tired. Not yet. Sort of had to since I've come here. And it makes me crazy. I like to have more purpose. And so, you and Chris, purpose, right?
Mm.
I watch Justin and Maggie, purpose. Mm. You know, the lives that you touch. We all need accountability partners, right? We all need somebody to show us how we can do life differently, how we can make the most of the life that God's given us, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whether that's through our mental health or spiritual physical health. And we all need someone just like CR, right? They're there to support one another.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, I think, with making medical changes, right?
Mm.
You need someone that, you know, my husband was very on board, so we looked each other up. He's like, do you really want to eat that? You know how you're going to feel afterwards? So you don't want to be a food Nazi, right?
Yeah.
And so, because that's not healthy either, it's a balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As most things in life are, in moderation.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one thing, you know, you're talking about American culture, and we've just gotten away from the idea and the importance of moderation and how, you know, a little bit of something's probably not going to hurt you. You like your body can compensate or whatever, but it's if a little's good, then a lot is great. Is what you said.
That's not the way it is.
It's just not accurate to the way our body works or really anything in life. You know?
I think accountability partners are huge. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a poor terminology, there's certain connotations that comes with it.
But
again, from a spiritual aspect, my husband and I recently went through a difficult time, and Mark's wife, Chris, sent me Psalm 16, and I read through it. And all that stress that was building up from what I knew was ahead of me, it went away. God has this and helps us through it, right? Mark sent a snapshot prayer from his prayer journal. I have a prayer journal. My husband doesn't do a prayer journal. My husband didn't used to do devotions every day. He now says devotions every day. And so some of that is the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but some of it is the people that God brings into our lives that teach us a better way. Yeah. We just don't know a better way, sadly, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, I could do 8 episodes on accountability. It's just, to me, one of the most crucial things in my life, and I believe in anyone's, whether they do it or not. But, I think sometimes you have a desire to change, but not the ability or
the tools.
The tools. Yeah, I think tools is probably accurate, because it's like you want to change, but you don't know how. And the barriers to changing are greater than your ability or desire to change. And so in recovery, we talk about how a lot of times you won't change until your pain is greater than your fear of change. But there are things we can do in life that is largely what Celebrate Recovery is all about, is this removing some of the pain so that now change is easier.
Right.
Instead of like keep increasing the pain to where now you have to change.
Right.
Like we can do some things and go, oh, yeah, I can change.
Health's the same way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Just decrease some of the insults and then you feel good enough that you can make the change.
I was thinking about that too. It just kind of came to mind as far as you were talking about snacking. I think that's become an American way, you know, that we put stuff in our bodies pretty much as long as we're awake. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that too. What would you say, like, for people who desire that snack? What would be a healthy snack? It's like, nuts. Are they healthy?
Apparently not nuts.
That's what I was thinking of, those fats. It's like, you know, someone like Justin, like myself, who basically says, I like to snack at night. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's not the best thing for me.
Right.
But if I'm not going to quit, you know, what is something that's actually not an insult?
Okay. How about something that's like, if you're snacking at night, maybe it's a good example because there's some caffeine here. This may sound gross, but you could take a tablespoon of coconut oil. You could put in a little bit of stevia, which is a sort of a bitter sweetener.
No, or a little dab of honey. Yeah, honey would be better. But if you really like chocolate, how about some cacao?
Okay.
Like, so I mixed up a big jar. It's in the cupboard.
Honey, oil, cacao.
It's her Nutella.
Yeah.
Stevia.
But it's a healthy Nutella.
I understand. Yeah.
Coconut oil is a fat, so it's satisfying.
Okay.
And I need a little chocolate, so there it is, right?
Okay.
It's like, it's almost dinner time, and I'm really hungry, or,
Need it. Also, another PDF of snacks.
I was thinking about that in the context of it's not always about just I can't pass snacks anymore.
Yeah.
But what's something, a baby step that I can do that is less insulting to my body?
Mm-hmm. You need to start a blog.
I wanted to do a blog that talked about beach life. So homesteading.
Oh, yeah. You do that one as well.
I was under the impression it would take, because we want to be healthier. I was under the impression that blogs took a lot of time, and when would I do that? So again, what have you shown me?
Well, they do take a lot of time, but so does that.
Yeah.
And but that could be there, and I could say, we posted a link to Mary Beth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for planting seeds.
Yeah. I can help you get a blog.
The difficult things, though. Yeah. I think are the things that make the difference.
Yes.
Oh,
and the reason I said that is because I'm
so
like,
true.
This should be there so that we can share. Like, I'm like, how can we need a whole section of our website just for health things so that we can. And I'm like, no, she really, that'd be amazing.
I brought my hormone replacement notes.
Oh, man.
Anyway, we didn't get to that. I rambled.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have you back. We do well, you're
thing.
Moving
we,
soon.
We do the same thing.
We can do okay. it. Yeah,
yeah
okay. we do.
Yeah,
yeah like, I've given up developing this because I know with Mark, we're just... we're not getting there, but it's good, though.
Is that just me?
Like, I really like the one you guys did on the Holy Spirit. Oh, gosh, it was excellent. And, yeah, I guess there was no, like, agenda, right?
Right.
The Holy Spirit. Right. The Holy Spirit right. probably does have an agenda.
Well,
he moves in us in different
exactly.
ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's really... Sorry, keep coming up. No, I don't need to. I'm sorry. That's what we do, though, is... And I hope it's good. I think it's good. But that's our style, and we recognize... I don't know. It can always be better, but this is what we're good at. This is what we can do consistently. And it's and the Holy Spirit episode was not planned. Like you in that morning. He came in that morning. He said, "I've been thinking about the Holy Spirit. Read this thing. What do you think about the Holy Spirit?" And we started talking. And we're like, you know, we should record this. So
I love that.
And we just went. You know, and so that's why there wasn't scripture references. And it was, and my wife was kind of like, "Yeah, be careful of that kind of stuff." I'm like, you know, but that's where we kind of. Continue to establish this concept of yes, but this is how we
how
see,
see
it.
It.
Mm-hmm. It's we're not meant to tell you how you know what you're meant to believe about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
This is what we've gained. This is what we've learned. This is
the conversations we have.
Conversations,
yeah.
We're just letting you in on conversations, and you don't have to agree. You don't have to like it. You know,
right?
So, but so in that aspect of conversations, be ready for some questions because people are automatically going to come to Justin and I after this one,
okay.
And they're going to want more information.
I love
they're going to want to know, and I know you do. That's part
of
what I really appreciate is all the assistance you're giving to Chris, and not only that, you know, me and my clients and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you're a tremendous resource.
Yeah,
I realized I shouldn't have gotten into Wake Forest. I didn't have an undergraduate degree. I was one of 800 applicants. How did I get in there? And when I look back over my life, I know it was only by the grace of God. So part of me feels like, have I let God down? Maybe that's a bad thing to say, or a bad way to word it, but what am I doing with this gift he's given me? You know? Look at my journey of health through clinical research, getting drugs on the market, through integrative health, through emergency medicine. It's just such a broad background of all of what medicine is. And so, do I just say, bye, it was a nice life? That's just not,
maybe
doesn't
you could
resonate.
Start a podcast.
Okay.
The blog's a good start.
Well,
I'm not saying it, but she can't.
For some people, talking's easier than writing. Other people, writing's easier than talking.
Yeah.
But there are,
You're giving her both a podcast and a blog.
I'd just take one, and then you know, you. The cool thing about stuff like this too is, baby steps. It always comes back to what's the smallest version of this that I can do consistently. If you want to. So I have this knack, and Mark gets it from me too, is like, as soon as I hear a sense of desire for purpose, and I'm like, well, here's what have you thought about? It's like, I'm trying
to
like,
make
to I'm trying to give you a little baby ramp that says, you know, you don't have to, you're thinking of this version of you, but how do you get to that version? But anyway, so I like baby things. What's the smallest version of what you could do to feel that sense of purpose that you're somewhat feeling this calling towards?
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded, and we haven't released it yet, episode of mission statements.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Mark's like, he asked the question, how do you talk to someone who's retired? And this idea of beginning with the end in mind is like, well, the end's, you know, I've already lived my life. How do you speak to them? It's like, well, it doesn't matter. At any point in your life, you can go, what do I want to look like in 5 years, 10 years when I die? And what can I do today to start walking that direction?
Right.
You
so
know?
Important.
And that can happen at any, you could be 5 years from dying.
Yeah.
You can still do that.
Right.
Plus, none of us know the day. So.
Right.
You know?
And you plan for a profession, right? You go to college, you go to school, your parents help you along.
But a profession is not identity.
It's not identity.
But it becomes that.
It does.
Then when you lose that identity, it's like, well, what now?
Yeah.
But then do you really plan for your retirement? Mm-hmm. My health is still good. Mm-hmm. What, you know, do I just, lay in the sun and drink a beer at the beach?
Yeah.
Like, because you could.
What,
I could.
What is my retirement supposed to be? And I plan for that. Mm-hmm. And then I arrive and it's like, what do I do now?
Right. And for what it's worth, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
I think what's wrong is when we have that thing that prods us and we drown it in beer in the beach.
Right.
Right? Because it's like, and that, I believe that's the Holy Spirit prompting us. And as someone who's retired and spent years in that grueling field, you know, I don't necessarily think you have to go back into this grueling second part. It could be something small or whatever.
Can we touch one another? How can we love one another as God commands us to do? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very cool. Because I just hear all you have to say. I'm like, man, I'd like to hear more.
I think that God tells us things several times if he means for us to do them and for it. So we just had visitors here a few weeks ago, and one of our visitors, Lauren, prompted me to think about a blog or a podcast. So she said, why don't you do beach life to homesteading? And she said, you can just take the healthy aspect on it and the reasons why you're doing it. And so that was 2 weeks ago, and now I'm hearing it again. So
I'm going to set up an email, repeating email reminder. Hey, how's that blog coming? That'll be your... God's been telling
you. You're going to have a pop-up. Have you done your blog yet? Yes or no? But...
That's great.
Yeah.
Have you written anything today, Mary Beth? Click yes or no. Yeah.
Mm. No, you like writing?
I do. Yeah. I feel like I can stay more focused. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, baby steps could be 30 minutes after quiet time or before or whatever.
Okay.
And maybe you don't finish your post in 30 minutes, but it doesn't matter.
That's okay. Next, you do it tomorrow.
You're doing it. You got tomorrow. Yep. You got from now until you're dead. So whatever you produce in that time is more than is more than you produced had you not started.
So why did you guys start this?
Why did we start this, Mark?
I can defer. I don't have an issue.
Okay. Well, I'll just share my perspective. How I see it is that Mark and I, we would meet regularly for accountability every other Wednesday morning, and we would have, you know, just conversations very much like these episodes. And so we would talk about something like the Holy Spirit, and
very unstructured.
Very unstructured, and yet
significant.
I think that's a good word for it. It felt so fruitful to have these conversations because. And often, like, he and I have a different kind of, different. We're kind of different.
Yeah.
Like, he's different a hunter. Viewpoints. He's a farmer. He's a builder. He's got a beard. He's, a generation after me. Right. Yeah. And I'm a techie. I'm whatever. I'm at my life stage with my kids is younger. And tall and handsome. Yeah. You know, so we're just, we come at things from a slightly different perspective. I would argue that he comes from a conservative perspective. I grew up in that, like very Republican, very conservative. And I'm still that way. I think when we're talking about spectrums, like Mark and I are here, you know, like both sides of that kind of middle or whatever. But I veered more towards the social dynamics of politics to where, like the build the wall thing, for instance, like, it broke my heart that we're saying, sorry, Mexican lady with two kids, there's a wall now. But I also understand that, you know, so it's like, so we would have these conversations kind of coming from slightly askewed positions and recognize that we're actually very close, you know, and when it comes down to it, you know, almost everything, but we see it differently.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It's perfect. So
That's kind of how the title came about. And I think part of it, you know, through us having those conversations and learning from one another, I think part of the passion became in that era coming out of COVID and politics and, you know, going through the elections and vaccines. Yeah. It's like, I mean, wow, there's such polarization that we see. And it was, not to make it sound dramatic, but it kind of broke our hearts to a degree. Mm-hmm. Kind of that aspect of, oh, this much of you I see, mm-hmm. and that's who you are, yeah. and you need to stay over
right.
there.
Yeah. That's very much how it was.
And, yeah, and I think in some ways still is, yeah. and I think that's where our passion became, okay, how do we have mm-hmm. these discussions in such a way that promotes that
promotion. Yeah. So it's not necessarily about even what we had to say as much as advocating for this concept of conversation over yes. polarization.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And
what we have to say isn't really that important.
Right. Yeah. Our broader goal is more mm-hmm. about that producing.
Yes.
The interest in this conversational
right.
interest.
It helps you to think a different way. Though.
Yeah.
Or to be a little softer to somebody else's perspective mm-hmm. or where they're coming from.
Even though
your goal is the same or you're mm-hmm. on the same page or you want the same things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, giving room to find out you're almost the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Where
right.
not giving that room. No, you're on the other side
right.
of the battlefield.
Yeah.
You get a label.
You're an enemy.
You get a
yeah.
label.
Yes.
You
get a
like
label.
Enemy.
Like
you're
enemy.
My enemy
yep.
because we disagree about this.
Yep.
When there's all of this mm-hmm. that we're still very similar. So I think that's where the passion this came out at that time.
Yeah, and like, you know, even in what you were talking about, it's like, how do you change that system? It's like, you don't. It's too big. It's out there. It's in my circle of concern, but it's not in my circle of influence, which is much smaller.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay.
Well, let him finish on
that. Yeah, yeah. I want to hear that. So for us, it was like, what can Mark and I do to fix the polarization out there? Well, that's too broad, but what can we can have conversations,
yeah,
start a pot. What
yeah.
can we do mm-hmm. to make inroads, to do something? Now, I don't have any, you know, misgivings. I don't think we're going to blow up the world. It's going to change. But if it changes one person, that's good enough for me. If it helps one person think, how can I give room for conversation instead of instant judgment, instant
right.
pigeonholing? That's a win, right?
It is a win.
And that person hopefully can produce that change.
You just change it. It's a snowball. And
yeah,
you change
that's
one
the
person
idea.
At a time
that's
snowballs.
The hope,
yeah.
right?
And it does. When I listened to the Holy Spirit, I was painting the screen porch. So I was painting. It's like, oh, what did he say that was so good? So I get back down off the ladder. I back it up. Then I get back on the ladder. I must have done. I had so much exercise that day going up and down.
She got
to
her
hear
steps
the rest.
That day.
Yeah, I did get my steps
that's
that day.
Funny. That's
yeah.
funny.
I think in the medical field is maybe really easier to change.
Yeah.
It's about what patients demand. And mm-hmm. so I did somewhere in these notes I have down. I mean, you just don't go to that doctor. I mean, if they can't listen, if they can't offer a better solution, if they say to you, there's nothing you can do for Hashimoto's autoimmune disease, you just need to, you can question them, or you just need to go to another doctor. And if going to another doctor means maybe you have to go to another city a couple times a year, you go to a different city a couple times a year to get the labs drawn and to get the medications you need, or I'm just using Hashimoto's, I'm not saying you should do that, but I'm using that.
Yeah.
And so if you can't find a doctor in your city, you can get on IFM's website, Functional Medicine, what does the I stand for? Integrative Functional Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got doctors in your area.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at, if you look online now for Integrative Health and Functional Medicine, they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But if you click on their websites, you'll see aesthetic medicine. Botox, beautifying your skin. You don't want to go for it. Maybe that is what you want to go for. If you want to go for it,
there
it is. It's everywhere. But if you're looking for someone to help you with your Hashimoto's, that's probably not where you want to go. Let's put some Botox in.
That's fascinating. But even that's a baby step to be able to say that's something you could do. Well, you can question your doctor's.
Which is a huge step.
Prescription advice and say, can I do it without that? And
that's
a very easy baby step. When they give you a prescription for anything, saying, is there a way I can do it without this prescription?
Right.
Is that accurate?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times you will hear, no.
Yeah.
I recently went to a doctor here that said, I don't know. I was actually asking.
Which is way better than.
Which is way better. Yeah, it's way better.
I love an idol.
He didn't have a huge ego. He said, I don't know. He said, give me some literature. So if your doctor's saying, I don't know what he wants, and then he says, give me some literature, it's probably a good person. You can learn together, right? Mm. Or you're a little, they're still willing to heal versus.
And the good news is, generally across the board, I think, and this is something Mark and I have talked about, is that the next generation is valuing authenticity over authority.
I agree.
You know? So, a doctor says, I don't know, give me some literature, generally is going to be more respected by the generations that are coming than, well, then, you know, no, you can't do something different, or like, kind of the authoritative approach, where it wasn't that way.
Right.
And I think that largely plays into how the system got to be the way it is because, like you said, the generations expected authority.
Right.
And if you don't show authority, you obviously don't know what you're doing. I'm going to someone who knows what they're doing.
Right. And as your patient base dwindles, because you're also get bonus points on how fast is your patient base growing? What is your patient base?
Mm-hmm.
And so if patients aren't willing or they want a different way, they don't want the pill, the prescription, then you go to someone else. So, Andrew, that happens enough. I mean, most physicians, they're all bright, right?
Yeah.
How did you get in med school? How did you get through med school? So, the system doesn't give you time to read and learn. You're too burned out to read and learn. Or you shut down just to live within the system.
Yeah. Make your paycheck go home.
And there will always be those people who provide me information.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's easier.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, this helps this, and this. And okay, now I know.
Yeah. And I would learn it from my patients, and then I would go home and I would research that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's saying that if she did this, she got brain fog. It was when I was actually doing research. And so we did a lot of diabetes studies. And one of my patients said to me, well, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I don't eat until dinner time. I was like, what? I was floored by that. This was probably about 12 years ago. And he said, that's the only way I've found that I can control my blood sugar. And it's actually reversing itself. And like all the light bulbs went up, ding, 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 ding. And so I'm like, he's reversing his diabetes by just not for 2 days a week.
Wow.
And so I think you have to maintain for healthcare providers that we have their passion, right? To keep them wanting to do it. How simple is that, right?
Mm-hmm. This is, what we're going to have Judge Jason Bisbro on as a guest soon. And one of the things I'd love to talk to him about is, how do you be a politician of integrity when the entire system is built to force you into compromise?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the healthcare is similar in that the system is built to produce certain kinds of agents, right? That arguably isn't the correct way to do it. Like when it comes to advocacy for your patients, which is what the Hippocratic Oath is all about, right?
Right, it is.
Do no harm or whatever. And yet the system is built to not consider that as the highest good. How do you be that in that? You know, and I think
some of it too is that we all need to make a living and we need a paycheck.
Yeah.
There still are independent groups out there that aren't owned by the mega Novant systems that are out there. And so in working for an individual or practice, your paycheck will most likely be low.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's job satisfaction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause
go to an integrated health office. It was very rewarding for me, though scary. To have a patient there, and I saw her history ahead of time, and she had been to, I think, 13 doctors for her condition. She had antibodies that were sky high. we were in an airy fairy office where there was soft music and low lights. it was you went hard and fast, but you made a difference in that you helped the bodies to heal instead of getting a prescription. So I found it very rewarding. Was my paycheck as high? No.
Yeah.
And so, there's like you said, capacity expansion, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, a believer who desires to serve the kingdom,
right?
Then a paycheck is not the highest goal. And I think we all come to that conclusion at some point, or should. And if we don't, then when we die, we will learn that. But I think, generally speaking, across any industry, the paycheck should not be the highest good, you know, the highest goal.
Right.
And if it is, then, well, you're probably not our audience anyway, you know what I mean?
True.
Because I just don't think, well,
but
hopefully
maybe,
they are.
Maybe they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe they can
a
see
moment.
It in a way.
Yeah. There might be a moment where you mm-hmm. cross.
Yeah. And maybe.
They can think a different way.
Right. And maybe that's never been positioned as this isn't the highest good, and maybe this is the, you know, this could be the first time that it's even presented.
Mm-hmm.
And
seems like
it's kind of cool. You know, we just need more than our two listeners to. No, I think we're at like what 35.
I thought it was 44.
That's all, huh?
It used to be 44.
Oh, have we dropped?
Really?
Yeah.
So you see, not when just people are added or they like you or whatever. So how does it work? How do you see that your audience is growing or falling?
So we have analytics, and it basically tells us kind of the average estimated audience, tells us the unique listeners in the last 7 days. And this is based on recent episodes, Mark. So at some point, you know, we had a pretty decent listenership.
Sure, I had it for a while. We won that first. Yeah.
Don't be discouraged.
No,
not.
No, I mean,
it's the enemy, right?
Well, that's the thing we've talked about is there's various parts to this, but one of those things that I recognize and we talked about is anything worth doing takes work, takes time, takes building phase,
right.
And
foundation.
Yep, a foundation, right? So we recognize it could require 52 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It could require, you know,
and then
104 episodes,
2 years, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that 37, like you said, doesn't represent 37 people who kind of patronized us,
mm-hmm.
and said, "Sure, I'll listen." It represents people who care about what we have to say, and theoretically, the snowball effect is happening in their life to where the things we have to share, the things that we've learned, they're now learning without having to go through the junk that maybe we did. And so, you know, it's not about numbers. And we kind of committed that from the very beginning in prayer and that kind of thing to recognize.
Like you said, if you only touch one person, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or not.
For me to get up and down off my painting lamp so many times.
That's really cool to hear.
Okay.
I appreciate That's a great. Yeah.
Did we go up with last week? I think the one on the wives has been.
Yeah,
a
that's
favorite.
It's been a boost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Has it? That's why I'm surprised we're at 37.
I heard the first one.
Well.
Oh, did you hear the first one?
That's good.
Yeah.
You know they have some sort of.
Chris with the guns. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. That's the best story. Yeah.
I was gonna text her, but I thought I'll just leave it alone.
She would have.
She
would have enjoyed it, but still, yeah. Yes, we can't wrap it up much better than that, other than saying this is how we see it.
This is how we see it.
How we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.
You see how we're dressed, you see how we're looking, you know, it's like, I'm already got feeling that dry mouth, that
coming. I would give you a water bottle, but I gave her the last.
It's all good.
And I haven't even tried.
It's all good.
You want that?
No, that's okay. I'm good. She won't drink it because it's in plastic.
I will. That's right.